Text, Hallmark Channel presents. Title, The Good Witch's Family. The opening credits appear as unfocused crystalline formations rotate in the background. Catherine Bell. Chris Potter. Catherine Disher. Sarah Power. Hannah Endicott Douglas, Matthew Knight, Reese Ward. Casting, Lisa Parrison, and John Comerford. Editor, Donya Noga. Production designer, Marion Wyack. Director of photographer, John Barry. Associate producer, Janina Barrett. Produced by Tom J. Pretack. Co-executive producer, Catherine Bell. A man in a tie ascends a large staircase carrying a rolled-up document. Executive producers, Orly Adelson, Jonathan Eskenes. Executive producer, Frank Siracusa. Written by G. Ross Parker. The man knocks on a large wooden door, then pushes the door ajar. Based on characters by Rod Spence. Inside the room, a young woman sits with a laptop open, her back to the door. The man peeks his head inside. Co-executive produced and directed by Craig Price.
Hello, Mr. Loudon.
The woman doesn't turn her head. Now, she places earbuds on the keyboard and turns.
You brought me something.
The man steps into the dim room. Candles are lit all around.
An eviction notice, I'm afraid.
Don't be afraid.
The fact is, you haven't paid any rent in quite a while. I have to ask you to vacate these premises by no later than this Friday at midnight.
The stroke of midnight. I like that.
Young lady, do you understand what I'm telling you?
You're throwing me into the street.
Let's not put it that way. What about your parents?
My parents are dead.
Well, you must have family.
As a matter of fact, I just found out that I do.
Before you go, I need to review this vacate list with you. First of all, clean out the refrigerator of any food or...
The man clutches his stomach.
Are you all right, Mr. Loudon?
My stomach.
What is it?
Indigestion. Good thing.
He turns and walks out of the room. The young woman grins, then turns to her laptop. She stands and walks over to the counter, and she picks up a small effigy and places it on her counter. The doll wears a tie. She runs her fingers over the doll's stomach and begins to tap it. She looks up and grins. Jake enters a house in his police uniform and looks up to the landing.
Anybody home?
He steps in and glances around. The dining room has an open box of grocery items on it.
Hello?
He steps into the kitchen, also empty of people. In the back of the house, he looks around the yard. Leaves fall from the roof behind him.
Anybody here?
Here, Jake.
Cassie?
I don't think the last owners ever cleaned out these leaves.
Don't do that. Let me do it for you.
Cassie stands on the roof, sweeping with a broom.
Cassie, where's the ladder?
What ladder?
She now stands on the ground.
Huh?
She leans in and kisses Jake. He smiles.
What brought that on?
A lot of things. The sight of my husband, our new life, and our beautiful new home.
You make things beautiful, Cassie. Sure is good coming home to you after a tough day.
Tough day?
Yeah, I got all these demonstrators down by the river.
I know what you need.
10 more officers.
Herbal tea, my own special blend.
Brandon dashes out of the house with a guitar case.
Hey, where's the fire? Do you have time to say hello to your stepmother?
Ooh, stepmother. That's a beautiful word.
Sorry, Cassie. Dad, I'm off to see Wes.
Do I know him?
He's just a guy in my class. We're writing a song together for my application to music college. It is really going to make me stand out.
Well, that sounds good. Don't you want to write your own song?
Well, I can write music, but lyrics, kind of hard for me to find the words.
Sometimes the words find you.
Brandon smiles.
I know you're in a hurry, but before you go, could you two help me with something in the garage?
Yeah.
They enter the garage.
Still so much to do. I was wondering if you boys could move this up to my sitting room.
She uncovers a large trunk.
This looks like a treasure chest. What's in it?
Treasure.
They smile. Inside the house, Lori sits in her bedroom looking at a laptop. As Cassie enters, Lori closes the laptop.
Lori?
Cassie, hey.
May I come in?
What a silly question.
You have tons of homework?
Nope. This is my wedding gift for you and Dad. Sorry, it's a bit late.
Oh, the best gifts are the least expected.
She opens the lid. On screen is a drawing of a tree.
A family tree?
Mm-hmm. With Grandpa George, my dad, my mom.
Cassie nods.
Family tree is a great way to remember where we came from.
Cassie touches Lori's shoulder.
And I added a new branch for you, Cassie.
Oh, that is so sweet. Thank you. Who's that branch for?
The name Abigail Pershing appears on an empty leaf.
Abigail. Your cousin.
My cousin? What cousin?
Your mother's sister's daughter. Abigail Pershing, age 25.
Lori, wow. You're amazing. How on earth did you find her?
I didn't. She found us. The website lets family members connect, and she wrote me, and I wrote her back right away.
Oh, we have to do more than that. We have to invite her for a visit. I always suspected my roots ran deep.
Let's see. If she's my stepmother's cousin, then what does that make her to me? My first step cousin?
Family.
Cassie nods, grinning. Now, Cassie enters the master bed. Jake folds towels.
Cassie, you got your trunk all squared away?
Oh, thank you, Jake. Guess what? Lori just gave us the most wonderful gift, a family tree.
Oh, that was nice of her.
There's even a branch on it for our newest family member.
Cassie, are you pregnant?
No, not yet, anyway. Now, the branch is for a relative of mine I've never met, my cousin, Abigail. I've invited her to come visit.
Oh, what do you know about her?
Enough to know I want to get to know her better.
Jake nods. Later, at the police station, Mayor Tom sits at Jake's desk.
Permits? I think we should issue permits to protest down by the bridge.
Middleton Police, Deputy Derek speaking.
That way the people that are for the bridge and the people against the bridge won't show up at the same time. See, the cold weather hasn't stopped anybody yet.
Yes, Mr. Burl. The river is still open for fishing.
I think it's the best thing for crowd control on the whole.
You know what the best thing for crowd control is? A mounted officer.
I just can't see why anyone would be against this bridge.
Look, I'm a pretty good rider. My Aunt Janice already said she'd donate her quarter horse. How about it? Derek of the Middleton Mounted?
Aren't you gonna get that?
Derek answers his phone.
Middleton Police, Deputy Derek speaking.
What was I saying? The bridge?
Well, why not?
Don't these people know what this bridge will bring into this community? Revenue pouring into this town from the Tri-Cities.
It sounds good.
It's good for the police department, too. Jake, when the bridge is built and the annexation goes through, your department will grow. You're looking at a better salary, better job security.
That sounds good, too.
All our public officials will benefit.
Including the deputy?
And it'll be a great way for me to close out my term.
Tom stands, buttoning his jacket.
Excuse me. I have a 10 o'clock.
And I have to pick up some paperwork from the clerk's office. Man the phones, Derek.
Jake pats Derek on the shoulder as he walks out.
Man the phones, Derek.
Derek answers.
Middleton Police, Deputy Derek speaking.
In a conference room, Martha bangs a gavel at the assembled crowd.
I think that we are all agreed that this bridge and annexation is the worst thing to hit this town since the Great Flood of 1956. The issue at hand is how to stop it. Now,
Tom enters.
I propose that we picket the... Excuse me, sir?
Sir? Martha, we've been married for 26 years.
Oh, I hardly recognize you anymore, Tom. Not since you told me that you are actually in favor of this monstrous bridge.
Don't you want to hear why?
No! This is a meeting of the Anti-Annexation Committee, and since you are pro-annexation, I would appreciate it if you would cease spying on us and excuse yourself from the room.
Fine.
Tom walks out. Cassie turns to Martha.
Martha, don't you think we should welcome opposing points of view?
Remember what happened when they annexed Ridgewood? Urban sprawl. With all of the traffic and noise and pollution that go along with it. Now, Cassie, don't tell me that you actually support this annexation.
No, not at all. The mayor talks about what we'd gain, but I'm worried about what we'd lose. This is a quaint community of friends and neighbors, a family.
Exactly, and that's why we have to force the opposition to see it our way.
Martha, we can't force our views on anyone. We have to listen to what they have to say, and hopefully they'll return the favor.
Now, fortunately, Tom is being termed out of office. What we need is a new mayor, someone who clearly loves this town and who the town loves in return. Do I hear a nomination? Oh, come now, people. Someone eminently qualified is in this room.
Martha grins pompously.
Cassie Nightingale.
Martha's eyes widen.
Oh, I'm very touched, but I...
Please, let's not pressure Cassie. I mean, after all, she is a newlywed with a large household to oversee and two lovely but demanding youngsters.
Yeah, but like you said, we have to win people over. Who better than Cassie? Come on, Cassie, we really need you now.
This town has given me so much already. I'd be happy to give something back in return.
Cassie smiles. She glances at Martha, frowning.
So long as Martha agrees to help me.
I second the nomination. Resolved. Cassie Nightingale, with my help, will be the new mayor of Middleton.
Now, Cassie descends the courthouse stairs, chatting on the cell phone.
Yes, 20 amethyst stones for the gift bags. Oh, for the sweet 16 party I'm planning for my stepdaughter. By the way, would you have sandalwood candles? No, not for the cake, for the room. Aromatherapy? Lori loves the scent of sandalwood. Right, well, I think that's all, at least for now. Okay, thanks.
Jake passes.
Jake!
Hi!
I have some big news about the future of Middleton, our future.
Well, that's exactly what I wanted to talk to you about. I was talking with the mayor. You go first.
I'm running for mayor.
What brought that on?
Well, like I said, the future of Middleton, and by running for mayor, I'll be able to help stop the annexation.
Are you sure you're going to have time with the house, the family?
Well, this is all about family and where we live. Oh, I can't wait to tell the kids. What did you want to tell me?
Oh, I convinced the mayor to issue permits for the demonstrators. So that should make work a lot easier.
Jake avoids her gaze. Cassie squints. At the Russell house, the garage is filled with several guitars and an electronic drum kit. Brandon sits at a keyboard, reading from a paper. Wes sits nearby holding a guitar.
This is good. Thanks. Really, really good lyrics. Thanks. I can already hear a melody in my head that might work. You know, this is the kind of love song that people remember. How'd you think of this?
I was inspired by a certain someone.
Oh, Angela?
Angela's history.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't be. As of yesterday, it's Tiffany.
Oh, hey, Lori.
Lori enters the garage, fidgeting.
Something you have to tell me?
I'm Wes.
I know. I mean, I'm Lori, Brandon's sister.
Yeah, I figured.
Dinner's almost ready. Do you want to stay for dinner? Because that wouldn't be a problem. I mean, we have lots of room. You know, food.
Dinner usually includes food. Thanks, Laurie. Yeah. Dinner sounds great.
Great. I mean, I'll tell Cassie.
Abigail peeks in the garage.
Did you see that?
There was somebody at the window.
Who?
I thought I saw someone.
Brandon looks outside. He sees no one.
It's not. We better get back to work. Hey, Lori, ask Cassie if we can have dinner out here, okay?
Wes smiles at Lori.
Okay?
Okay.
Lori smiles at Wes, then walks out of the garage. Inside, Lori walks up to the staircase landing.
Cassie!
She continues up to the highest level. She approaches a beaded curtain and steps through. Inside, the room is lit by a standing lamp. The black curtains are decorated with stars and sparkling lights. Orbs and crystals sit on a shelf. Cassie sits on a couch.
Cassie, this room gets more and more amazing every time I see it.
Welcome to my sitting room.
Why do you call it your sitting room? Is that all you do in here? Sit?
You can travel a great distance by sitting very still and thinking very deep thoughts.
Brandon was wondering if he and Wes can eat in the garage.
Oh, of course. They're working a tough deadline.
Maybe I could eat in there too? But he's a senior, and I don't want you to eat alone, and he probably doesn't want me around. So. I don't know. What do you think?
I think that I was a lot like you when I was about to turn 16. My mind was all over the place. School, friends, boys. You'll know.
Know what?
If he's the one for you.
How will I know that?
By first making sure you know yourself.
Sometimes I don't know what to think anymore.
That's why you need this.
Cassie approaches the chest and opens it. She pulls out a small case and opens it, presenting it to Lori.
A pen? What for?
Writing. Sometimes when my thoughts are circling my head like so many whirling stars, I like to write them down.
It's beautiful. Thank you.
Or you could use it to pen invitations to your sweet 16 party.
What sweet 16 party?
The one I'm giving you on your birthday.
Cassie, you're the best.
They hug.
Smoke alarm.
They enter the kitchen. A pot is bubbling over.
I swore I set the stove to simmer.
Cassie cranks the window open. Lori stands on the chair, fanning a towel at the detector. Cassie swings the door open and closed. Cassie ponders.
Who opened the front door?
Why?
Cross ventilation.
Among other things.
Cassie opens the front door. Abigail stands on the porch.
Hi, I'm Abigail. We've been expecting you.
Cassie extends her arms. They hug. Abigail glances around at the house inside.
This reminds me of our old house back in Greenfield. Your family's still there? We've all gone our separate ways. It looks like you've made a wonderful life for yourself, Cassie.
For all of us.
Lori and Cassie smile.
Are you married, Abigail?
Not yet. I'm more of a matchmaker.
Really?
Would you mind if I unpacked? I've been on the road since 6 this morning. Absolutely. In fact, if you'll excuse me, I have some urgent work to do myself. I'm so excited you're here, Abigail. We'll all get together for a big welcome dinner tomorrow, the whole family.
Cassie's a great cook.
Sometimes. I'll order pizza tonight. Later, you might want to take a walk into the village. Middleton has some great shops and cafes. I'm so sorry. I just have to take care of these papers for City Hall this evening. So you can run for mayor.
Cassie pauses, turning to Abigail.
I've been reading all about it on the town's website, that the mayor is stepping down. Seems like you'd be perfect. Huh. You're very well informed. I try to keep up. But you're amazing. A beautiful family, your own shop on Main Street, a run for mayor. Where do you find the time? Well, I won't take all my time. I'm running unopposed. Besides, I always find time for what's important.
Cassie grins at Lori.
I can see that. That's why I'm glad you're here.
Later, Cassie stands behind the counter at her eclectic new age shop. She writes onto a paper. She glances up toward the front.
Hello?
Derek steps in.
Oh, good evening, Derek.
I saw a light on. Just wanted to make sure everything was okay.
Sure is.
Looks like you're burning your candle at both ends.
Yeah, I left all my application forms for mayor here at the shop. Can't believe how much paperwork I've got.
Well, you and me both.
I thought you were at the demonstration.
Oh, no, they finished up for the night. So I'm just going to go back and finish my reports. I don't know. There's so much up in the air with Middleton these days. Who knows where we're headed? I sure don't.
Cassie ponders.
I might have something to help with that.
Cassie nods. She steps over to a shelf. She picks up a small golden object and hands it to him.
A compass? Wow, I haven't had one of these since I was in Boy Scouts. Mm. Does it work?
Like a charm.
You know I have a GPS in the squad car.
That belongs to the police department. This is for you. Something to remind you that you can chart your own course.
If you say so. Well, right now it is pointing out the door, so I should probably get back to work.
Yeah, me too. Good night, Derek.
Good night.
Cassie grins as Derek leaves. In the garage, Wes picks up a slice of pizza.
Your sister's all right. Yeah. I guess so. No, I mean, all right. Don't you already have a girlfriend? Yeah, so what? So how many girlfriends do you need? Look, don't get distracted, okay? This is a big opportunity. For both of us. You're right.
Lori enters.
Hi.
Lori carries two pastries.
Look what Abigail made for dessert.
What is it?
Almond meringue. Isn't she awesome? Do you want some, Wes?
Wes doesn't react.
Wes?
No, thanks.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay, let's take it from the second verse. Where?
Lori frowns. She turns and walks out. She glances back at Wes, who doesn't look up. Lori returns to the kitchen and places the plate into the fridge. Abigail sits at the kitchen table nearby.
Don't tell me someone refused my dessert.
It's okay. More for me.
You don't sound okay. Trouble with Mr. Wright?
Who knows if he's right, Wes. I mean, as Cassie says, when the right one comes along, I'll know.
Sounds like Cassie's really looking out for you.
All the time.
So she wants you to be happy, right?
Yeah.
Well, just think how happy you'd be if Wes was your date to your sweet 16 party.
But he doesn't even like me.
I have just the thing.
She picks up a red vial.
What is it?
Chemistry. In a bottle.
Perfume?
A very rare oil. You dab it behind your ears. It'll be our little secret.
She hands the vial to Lori, who holds it to her nose.
I don't smell anything.
Wes will. But only if he comes very, very close.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Elsewhere, a police car is parked outside Marcello's restaurant. Derek sits inside, in uniform, holding the compass open. It points at a woman across the room, her back turned.
Cassie?
Abigail turns her head.
Oh, sorry.
Cassie's my cousin. I'm Abigail.
Hi.
You must be Derek Sanders.
How did you know?
It's on your name tag.
Oh, right.
Would you like to join me?
Sure.
Derek sits across the table from Abigail.
Strudel? It's much too much for just me.
I love strudel. My ex-girlfriend used to run a bakery.
Ex?
She moved away. Were you expecting me?
What?
Oh, it's just that you have two forks.
I took it from the next table.
Oh.
I hope that's not breaking the law, officer.
It's a major felony. But luckily for you, I'm off duty.
Really? I just assumed you'd be working overtime with all the excitement over the annexation.
Oh, yeah. Well, it sure is exciting. I just wish I could be a part of it.
So you're for the annexation?
Oh, sure. I think it's going to do a lot for this town. I just hope it does something for me.
Don't just hope.
What do you mean?
Maybe it's time for a change of direction.
Abigail runs her fingers over the compass on the table.
I'm not exactly sure what you're driving at.
Well, if the annexation goes through, the people that support it could be rewarded.
Yeah, maybe.
People like you.
Yeah, you have a good point. Are you a career counselor or something?
No. I just like to see people get what's coming to them.
The needle on the compass begins spinning.
It's crazy.
No, but I am a little unconventional.
Huh? Oh, no, I meant the compass. It's just that north is that way, and it's pointing in the opposite direction.
At home, Lori sits at the kitchen table with a pen and paper. Cassie enters.
Thank you for cleaning the kitchen.
I didn't. Abigail did.
Oh, she shouldn't have done that. After all, she is our guest. Certainly has the magic touch. You, writing down some of your feelings?
Spanish homework.
I don't think I could write another word. I filed all the papers for mayor. It's official.
Mayor Cassie Nightingale. That's so exciting.
Not as exciting as your sweet 16. I thought you might want to sign some of these. Invitations to your party.
Yeah, thank you. And Abigail said she'd take me dress shopping. She's got a really good fashion sense.
Yeah, all her senses are very keen. Good night.
Cassie kisses Lori's cheek, then pauses, her face falling.
What is it?
It's hard to say. Something in the air. Good night, Lori.
Good night.
Cassie exits. Lori touches behind her ear sheepishly. Jake ascends the staircase, in uniform. He approaches his bedroom.
Pardon me?
Abigail appears.
Oh, you must be Abigail. Very nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you too, officer.
Call me Jake.
It must be the uniform. I don't know why, but uniforms always make me nervous.
Well, I'm not a police chief when I'm home, just a dad.
A pretty good one, according to Lori.
Thanks. Well, it's certainly a lot easier with Cassie around.
She's sure to be able to stop the annexation. That's a good thing, right?
Were you looking for something?
A towel.
Towel. Yes, well, linen cabinets that way. Help yourself. And if you need anything else, just let me know.
Good night.
Good night.
Abigail turns and walks down the hall, grinning. Jake enters his bedroom. Abigail turns back. Her eyes shift around. She walks up another level toward Cassie's sitting room. In the bedroom, Jake crawls into bed. Cassie reads in bed.
I made the deadline for mayor. Signed, sealed, and delivered. What an evening.
I haven't even started campaigning yet.
Well, I'll manage. Besides, I am running unopposed.
Well, you've got all these people to talk to. Hands to shake, babies to kiss.
Looking forward to that. Speaking of babies... Have you given any thought?
Well, of course, I'd love to. But do you think we'll have the time?
You're not scared of changing a few diapers, are you?
No. Not that.
Jake kisses Cassie.
I'll get ready for bed.
Okay.
He stands and enters the bathroom. Cassie picks up her book and reads. She glances toward the bathroom, then the book again. She closes the book and stands. In the hallway, she glances around. She glances up toward the sitting room, then climbs the stairs. Cassie passes through the beaded curtain and looks around. She looks down at the trunk, then crouches, looking at it.
I love what you've done with this room.
Abigail stands over her. Cassie magical. Stands.
Huh. You have a magic touch as well. Pardon? Oh, the dessert was delicious. The kitchen was immaculate. It's the least I could do. Yes, I believe you're capable of so much more. Beautiful old trunk. Was it a family heirloom? There wasn't all that much to pass down on my side of the family.
There are gifts everywhere, if you're ready to receive them.
Good night, Abigail.
Cassie turns and walks out. Abigail ponders, then looks down at the trunk. She runs her hand over the top of it and gently touches the latch. She flinches as the trunk slams closed. Abigail glances over at the beaded curtain, then at the trunk. Daytime. A customer exits Cassie's shop, bell, book, and candle. Inside, Cassie lights incense. Martha enters and storms up to Cassie.
Cassie, I just learned that someone is actually running against you. Unbelievable!
Why? Well, there are two sides to every issue. Why shouldn't there be two candidates?
Tom won't even tell me who it is. Claims that it's confidential until it's certified. Oh! He probably recruited this person himself just to push through the annexation.
Did you ask him?
I can't talk to Tom these days.
Oh, well, I think...
All he does is ramble on and on about his legacy, his bridge, his vision of the future.
But you...
I can't get a word in edgewise. You can't imagine how frustrating it is.
I think I can.
Now, we certainly have our work cut out for us, so here is your door-to-door itinerary. Please don't dawdle. 30 seconds a house.
Oh, Martha, making friends takes time.
Well, you don't have it. Not anymore. Cassie, brace yourself. If you are serious about winning this, we have work to do.
Martha turns and storms out. Cassie squints. Elsewhere, Jake and Cassie chat in the police station.
But with someone running against you, it's a whole new ballgame. You're not going to have a minute of time.
I thought we could all pitch in. You could help hand out flyers.
Cassie, about the bridge.
Hey, guys.
Derek sits with a poster.
Derek?
Derek? For mayor?
Oh, I'm just getting started. What do you think?
You're running for mayor.
It's not that shocking. Is it?
Well, I wasn't expecting it. Why?
For the same reasons that you and Tom are behind the bridge and annexation.
I think it's great that you're running.
You do?
Absolutely. Best of luck.
You too, Cassie. May the best man or woman win.
What brought this on, Derek?
Actually, you, Cassie. You gave me that compass, which led me to that cafe, which led me to that cousin of yours, Abigail. She's fascinating.
She can cast a spell, all right.
Well, I should get going.
All right.
Derek takes the sign and walks out of the room.
Cassie, the mayor made a pretty good case. You know, he promised a bigger police department, a raise. That would help with family and college. I know you're running against the annexation, but it's worth taking a good look at, don't you think?
You're right, we should take a good look at it. The stakes are very high.
Jake sighs. Lori walks sadly down the sidewalk outside. She pauses to look at her reflection in a storefront window, adjusting her hair. She pulls out the vial and rubs it behind each ear. She closes the vial and looks at her reflection again. She smiles and turns. Nearby, Wes walks, holding a guitar case. He pauses to give a high five to a passerby. Lori approaches.
Hey, Wes.
Hey, Lori.
Are you going to our house to work with Brandon? Because that's where I'm going.
The library.
Oh. Me too.
I thought you said you're going home.
Well, I want to do some research first.
Oh, I'm just taking out some poetry. You know, inspiration.
Wes drops a book. They both bend to pick it up. Lori leans a little closer. Wes looks up at her. He stares.
So, do you want to go to the library together?
You know, my dad gave me some of his old YouTube vinyl. Maybe you want to check it out sometime?
Yeah, maybe.
Elsewhere, a man pulls equipment out of a truck labeled Associated Surveyor. Jake parks the police car nearby. People are gathered near the water carrying signs. Preserve Middleton. Stop the bridge now. The protesters lower their signs as Jake approaches. He smiles at them as they pass. He approaches surveyor binoculars and peers through. In the viewfinder, he notices a pole with a red ribbon. He follows a line of poles with red ribbons up to a fence. On the fence is a real estate for sale sign. Sold. Jake takes out a steno pad and jots a note. At the Russell house, Cassie and Abigail set the dining table.
So glad we can finally sit down to a nice dinner together. I just wish Jake could join us.
Me too. I've been exploring your town. Met some great people.
You made quite an impression. Brandon, Lori, dinner! They were just here and then they ran off.
Teenagers, you never know what's next.
That's why I have to be prepared for anything.
Abigail notices an oil painting.
That's a very nice painting.
Ah, yes. Gray Lady. Elizabeth Merriwick. She's an ancestor.
You mean our ancestor? I don't see the artist's name. The technique is very good.
You know about oils?
I took a couple of painting classes.
Didn't mean those kind of oils.
Lori enters, smiling.
I'll be right there. I'm just gonna wash up.
Cassie smiles at her. Then, Lori dashes off.
It's kind of magical to see her blossoming almost overnight.
A real magic takes time and love.
You know teenagers, when they have their mind set on something. I'm just happy to help.
Brandon and Lori enter the dining room and sit.
Hi.
Better eat quickly. Wes got hung up at the library, so you got a lot of work to catch up on.
Lori, did you find what you were looking for at the library?
How did you know?
What were you doing at the library?
Checking out a book.
You were with Wes, weren't you?
That's right. So what's your problem?
I want this song on my college application, and I can't write it without Wes.
So who's stopping you?
You! You're wasting his time flirting with him. We were supposed to practice, and he was 2 hours late.
Please, can we just enjoy our meal?
Just back off, okay?
Don't tell me what to do. I'm almost 16, and it's my life.
Okay, Brandon, Lori, will you tell me what is going on with you two?
Lori folds her arms.
Wes and I have a tough deadline, and she's distracting him.
You're just mad because we have chemistry.
Lori grins at Abigail.
Tell him, Cassie.
Well, you know, getting the song done on time is extremely important to your brother.
You're taking his side?
No, I'm not taking sides. It's possible that Wes isn't the guy for you right now.
What do you care? All you care about is being mayor. I thought you were my friend.
Lori?
Lori storms out.
I can't believe her.
Brandon.
Brandon storms out.
Kids! Sorry. This salad is delicious. Wait till you taste my main course.
Cassie turns and walks out. Abigail ponders, grinning. She sits back in her chair. At the mayor's office, Martha sits across the desk from Tom.
I can't believe that you're actually endorsing that Derek Sanders.
Well, I can't believe you're not supporting me.
Oh, as if you honestly care what I think.
Did you hear me? Do you ever listen anymore? What I said was...
You said that you wanted me to support this destructive annexation.
Martha, it's not going to destroy anything.
Really? Well, it's already ruining our marriage.
Jake enters with a folder.
Good evening, Martha.
Martha storms out.
She can be so closed-minded.
Well, actually, that's
why I came to see you. I think that Cassie and Martha have a point.
Heaven's sake, not you, too.
Now, hear me out. I've been looking into this road that's going to lead from the bridge
through the Sycamore Grove and out to the county line. What of it?
Right. Well, they're surveying a lot more than a new road. I'd like to look into this a little more, if you don't mind.
I do mind. Jake, do you want to help Middleton? Keep the peace. There's another demonstration scheduled in 15 minutes.
Jake closes the folder and walks out. At Marcello's restaurant, Abigail sits at a cafe table. Derek enters, pacing.
Friends, colleagues. I was okay. Residents of Middleton. Friends, colleagues. So,
another chance encounter, huh?
I don't believe in chance. Join me again?
This speech of mine is a mess, and I'm running out of time.
Maybe I can help.
I don't know. It's all over the place. Like me. I don't know. Maybe politics isn't for me.
Well, you can't back out now. I mean, the future of the town is at stake. If you don't step up and move us forward, then who will?
Well, that's it.
What's it?
Well, for my speech, that's the focus. The bridge moves us forward to the future. I gotta write that down.
Write it on this.
Abigail hands him an envelope.
An envelope?
Write it on the back. Your entire speech, like Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. It'll help focus your message.
Like Lincoln?
Abigail nods, smiling. Derek stands and shakes Abigail's hand, then walks out. Abigail's smile fades. At home, Lori enters the kitchen.
How do elderberry pancakes sound? Lori, would you like some?
Just the juice.
Okay, this is about yesterday.
I just woke up, okay?
Lori pours juice.
I just thought, we could spend some time talking about your Sweet 16 party.
Lori shrugs.
Cassie, did you see my work shirt?
Yes, Martha. Check the dryer.
Right. Good morning, sunshine.
Lori looks away.
You're turning on Spring Street? Okay, yeah. Sure, I'll be ready.
Brandon enters.
Oh, hey, Mr. DJ. Maybe you could talk to your sister and find out what she wants on her party playlist.
I don't want to talk to her about anything.
Fine. I don't even want the stupid party anyway.
Okay, you two. We'll talk about this later, all right?
Nothing like a long morning walk to jumpstart your day. I'm going to make ginger muffins. Who wants one?
That'd be great.
Jake, how about you?
I'd love to. I don't have time. I've got to check a couple things out north of the city before work. Bye.
Jake kisses Cassie.
Oh, and there's my campaign manager. Lori, if you change your mind about the party, just jot down a few things you'd like.
Not with this pen. It doesn't work.
Lori holds up Cassie's pen.
Apparently not. Oh.
Cassie grabs her coat.
Go ahead, Cassie. I've got everything under control.
Cassie looks at Abigail, then Lori.
Oh, okay. Coming, Martha!
Tom, with Derek at the station.
Everyone gets a little bit nervous when they give a speech.
It's just the thought of all those people looking at me. It scares me to death.
The secret is don't let it show. Chin up, speak up, enunciate, and smile.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. I'm gonna go review my speech.
Abigail enters.
Mr. Mayor, I don't believe we've met. I'm Abigail Pershing, Cassie's cousin.
Oh, Tom Tinsdale. Are those ginger muffins?
They sure are. I brought them by for Jake. He had to leave for work so early this morning.
Really? I haven't seen him yet.
Oh, he said he had to go up to the Sycamore Grove first. That's real dedication.
Mm-hmm.
Derek rummages around his desk.
It's gone. My speech. I wrote it this morning on your envelope, and I put it right in my drawer. I know I did.
Then it has to be there.
Did you lock the drawer?
Yeah, and nobody else has keys.
Except Jake.
Abigail grins. In the village, Wes exits a music shop called Strings Attached. Lori approaches.
Hey, Wes.
Hey, Lori.
I keep running into you.
You think it's fate?
Maybe.
tell you what I think. I think you planned it. You're going my way, aren't you?
Lori glances behind.
Hey, if you're looking for Brandon, relax. He's still at school. Basketball tryouts. Hey, do you sell those records?
Records?
Yeah, your dad's YouTube records. I want to check them out.
Sure, but I don't think my parents would like that. They won't be home.
Hey, if you're not cool with it, we can always get your brother to join us.
I can make my own decisions.
So, we're on?
My house is that way.
Wes and Lori walk off together. Across the street, Cassie watches them as Martha aims a camera at her.
Yoo-hoo! Focus, Cassie, focus! And for heaven's sake, smile!
I guess I'm a little distracted today.
Take five!
Cassie shakes her head.
I know how hard it is to smile 24/7. When I ran for Miss Delaware Water Gap, my cheeks were killing me. Chicken or fish?
For lunch?
No, for the fundraiser you're planning Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday's family night.
Cassie, there are people counting on you.
Yes. Yes, there are.
Where are you going?
Cassie walks off, crossing
Cassie.
The street. Elsewhere, Jake enters the police station. Tom sits in a couch in the lobby.
Tom, you're late.
Oh, I was up in the sycamore grove.
I know. Abigail told me.
Well, I was on my own time. Do you have any idea what's going on up there?
Do you know what's going on here? Derek's speech has gone missing. It was locked in his desk. There are only two sets of keys.
What are you saying?
Look, you've got a great record, Jake. But lately, with your wife running for mayor, you've lost sight of your priorities.
My job is to preserve and protect the town of Middleton. If there's a threat to it, I gotta look into it.
Don't push me on this. I'm still the mayor of this town, and you need to remember that.
And I'm still the chief of police. I got work to do.
Jake turns away.
Jake! I'm not finished with you yet!
Jake turns a corner and disappears down a hallway. In Cassie's sitting room, Abigail stands over a table. On the table are four effigies, arranged with their feet toward the middle of the table. She separates them to the edges of the table. Now, she runs her hand over the effigies and knocks her fist on the center of the table.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home?
Lori and Wes stand in the foyer. Wes takes off his coat. Lori turns to Wes, who smiles. Wes puts his coat on the stairwell banister, and they walk upstairs together. Then, Lori sits in her bedroom holding a record sleeve. Wes stands nearby.
The second verse. Hey. There.
He puts his arm around her.
I just love the way Bono sings about life on the street.
They gaze at each other. Their heads move closer. They stand. Lori dashes out of her room. She walks down the stairs. Before she exits, she turns and grabs the coat and carries it to the closet, tossing it inside. Cassie enters.
Lori.
Hey.
Hey, I am so glad you're here. I really, really want to talk with you.
Yeah, okay. Oh, let me get that.
Thanks.
Lori takes Cassie's coat and tosses it in the closet.
Got some tea?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. Where's Abigail?
Oh, I haven't seen her.
Oh.
Cassie walks out.
Wes, now!
Wes exits Lori's room and walks downstairs. Lori hands him the coat.
Let's get together later. At the park, 11.
After curfew?
Wes grins.
Not if you're there.
Wes leans in and kisses Lori. Lori smiles as Wes walks out. Cassie returns.
Hibiscus or nettles?
Hibiscus.
Is there something you want to tell me?
No.
Are you sure?
I thought you came home to talk to me.
Lori turns and walks out. Cassie watches her walk upstairs. Jake enters.
Jake.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
He kisses his cheek.
What is it?
I've been fired.
He sighs. Cassie purses her lips. A dark night. Lori and Wes sit on a park bench together.
Kinda creepy out here.
I like it. Cause you're here.
You hear that?
Wes glances up at the leafless trees.
An owl, maybe?
He turns to Lori, who looks concerned.
No, something else. Listen. What is that?
Just somebody walking around.
This late?
There's nothing to be afraid of. I'm here.
Wes gazes at Lori.
Let's get out of here.
They dash together through the trees.
Wes, wait!
Lori runs a few paces behind. She trips and falls face first into the dirt.
Wes! Where are you?
A figure passes in the trees ahead. Lori gets up and runs away, through the trees. She passes through some trees, then pauses. She stands beside a tree and pants.
Wes!
She turns. Cassie stands nearby.
Cassie!
Are you okay?
You scared me.
Yeah, the woods are a scary place.
He left me here. Alone.
You're not alone.
Lori hugs Cassie. Cassie's eyes close. At the Russell house, Cassie enters with Lori. Jake and Abigail stand when they enter.
Lori.
Lori, thank God. We were so worried till Cassie called to say you were okay.
Brandon and I were looking all over for you. What were you thinking?
Lori shakes her head.
You don't know? Maybe you should go to your room and think about it there.
Lori nods. She turns and walks upstairs.
I'm gonna take a walk. Sounds like you guys have a lot to talk about.
Abigail starts to walk out, then glances back. She leaves.
I'm not buying it.
Jake.
What, I'm a cop. Well, at least I was a cop. I know when someone's up to no good.
I don't think Abigail deserves the blame for all our problems.
I'm not just blaming her. I've raised those kids for a long time, Cassie. Lori crossed the line. She needs to be set straight.
I may be new at this, but I know that what Lori needs right now is a hug.
Cassie turns and walks upstairs. She stands at Lori's door.
Lori?
Inside, Lori sits, sobbing.
Well, go ahead.
What?
Ground me. That's why you're here, isn't it? Oh, so you're here to say, I told you so.
I'm just here. I can't say that it'll always be easy. I can promise you this. I'll always love you.
Lori hugs Cassie. They separate. Lori sobs.
My mind's been all over the place. It's like I don't know myself anymore.
Sometimes the first step in knowing yourself is admitting just how little you know. Sleep well, Lori.
Cassie kisses Lori's head. She stands and walks to the door.
Oh, and Lori, before you go to bed, don't forget to wash behind your ears.
Lori nods. Cassie walks out, shutting the door. Lori turns and grabs a washcloth from the nightstand. Underneath, she finds the pen. She lifts it and looks at the pen, then glances at the door. She stands and takes a small notebook off her shelf. She opens and holds the pen to write. She starts writing. In the garage, Brandon sits. Wes enters with the guitar case.
Let's get to it, Bran. Did you hear about last night? It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
We heard these footsteps coming, you know, like closer and closer, and your sister just freaked. Seriously, it was like a scene out of a horror movie. Her eyes were like this big, and then she just took off. I tried to stop her, but she was just gone.
Well, it's not how I heard it.
Hey, whatever. You want to get back to work?
Brandon crosses his arms.
All right.
Brandon turns, shaking his head.
You know what? No. I don't want to get back to work. I just want you to get out.
Wes shakes his head and turns to the door.
You know, without me, you can kiss your music school goodbye.
Wes nods. He turns and walks out, slamming the door. Brandon fidgets, rubbing his neck. He walks behind the keyboard and plops down. He sees Wes's notebook on the music stand. He picks it up and rips it, then tosses it to the ground. Inside the house, Jake sits, looking at a laptop. Several real estate listings read sold. Lori sits on the sofa nearby. Brandon enters and sits next to Lori.
Hey, how's the song coming?
Yeah, it's finished. Does it have to be so loud?
The control freak strikes again.
Okay, you two, give it a rest.
Cassie enters with two bowls.
With butter or without?
Cassie?
Don't you have that rally at the Lions Club?
Oh, the rally is postponed. Abigail is out shopping, and I thought a little family time would be a lot more fun. Are we having fun yet? Move over.
Brandon stands and sits beside Jake.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Nothing like spending time with the family, huh?
Mm-hmm. We'll always find time and stay close, regardless of who joins us on our journey.
Cassie glances toward the door. She stands and walks over. Martha stands on the porch, clutching a piece of luggage.
I've left Tom.
Cassie sighs. Daytime at the Russell house. Martha sits in the kitchen, fidgeting.
Good morning, Martha. How did you sleep?
I didn't.
Oh. Well, you're welcome to stay here until you and Tom work things out.
Well, in that case, I might just be here forever.
She stands and walks off. Jake scowls.
How many people do you plan on taking in?
They're here so we can help them.
I looked into Abigail.
Do we really need to do that?
I think so. We had Derek run a background check. According to her last landlord, she never paid rent after her first month.
Jake approaches Cassie with two mugs.
And she's pulled the same stunt in four different towns before that.
I know something's troubling her.
Oh, she's trouble, all right.
While you were investigating, did you happen to get her side of the story?
Cassie, you have such a big heart. It's one of the reasons I married you, but be careful.
How do you mean?
You've had all kinds of challenges before, but there's something very different about this woman.
Really? I keep thinking there's something very familiar about her. All those apartments, I'm surprised she never moved in with her parents.
No, she couldn't. Her father left after she was 13, and her mother died a year after that.
I know what it's like to bounce around from place to place, nowhere to call home.
And that's where the similarities end.
Because I found a family to love me. Besides, without all our bad fortune, we wouldn't have the good fortune of sitting here holding each other's hands.
Abigail stands nearby unseen.
You know, there's an upside to this unemployment, and I'm glad you decided to spend more time at home.
No place I'd rather be.
Yeah, we'll be all right. There's always another job. But another you? I don't think so.
Abigail steps away. In the dining room, Brandon sits writing in a notebook as Cassie enters.
Cassie, how do you spell phenomenal?
B-R-A-N-D-O-N. Yeah, that's the correct spelling. You working on your college application?
Just an essay for English Lit. I don't know about applying for college anymore.
Really?
I don't stand a chance without that song on my college application.
It's a great music school, and you're a great musician, Brandon. You belong there in the fall.
Thanks, Cassie, but I tried, you know, putting some words to my melody, but I just don't have it in me.
Great songs come from the heart. You've got a lot of heart, Brandon.
I can't write.
You know what I think? I think you just need to keep searching for the right inspiration.
Yeah. Maybe. Thanks, Cassie.
Sure.
Brandon grins and walks out. Upstairs, he approaches Lori's bedroom door.
Lori, your dad sold you two records?
Brandon props the door open. He sees the records on Lori's desk. He walks in and approaches the desk, picking up the record. He looks at the lyrics on the back, then notices the pen. He picks it up and then sets it down. On the desk is a notebook with writing in it, arranged in stanzas. Lori enters.
What are you doing?
Lori, this is terrible.
It's none of your business!
Fill me with fear, doubt, and shame? Pound the walls, find someone to blame?
It's private!
Lori, it's poetry.
Get out! Now!
These would make great lyrics.
You think?
Better than anything Wes ever wrote, if you don't mind me saying so.
That's okay. We're over anyway.
Same for Wes and me.
What?
Oh, after he left you like that in the park, I told him he could keep on running.
But, Brandon, that song meant so much to you.
Brandon shrugs, grinning.
So do you. Hey, wanna go down to my studio?
For what?
Let's write a song together. Okay?
Okay. But, you know, you don't need me.
I need good lyrics.
You could write them.
Nah, I wouldn't know where to start.
Lori hands him the pen.
Just write and see what happens.
He looks at it.
Just like Cassie said, maybe the words will find me.
Brandon smiles and turns, walking out. Lori follows, walking downstairs. Abigail stands in a hallway nearby.
Hi, Lori.
Oh, hi, Abigail.
I heard about you and Wes. I'm sure there's something else I can do to help.
It's okay. Cassie gave me everything I need.
Lori turns and walks off. Abigail watches her leave, then glances up the stairs. She walks up. Inside Cassie's shop, Martha examines a price tag.
Wishing stones, only 25 cents. Can this be right?
Yeah, put a few more of those out, would you?
Why charge such a low price?
I listen to my customers. They tell me that the fun, low-cost items make them want to visit the store more often.
Ah, so you attract lots of repeat business.
I attract lots of good things. Thanks for filling in for me, Martha.
Well, it's the least I could do.
Martha, you made 12 sales this morning.
Just lucky, I guess.
No, I think it's because you hear what people need and you help them find it. You're an excellent listener.
Yes, I am. Aren't I? Oh, look, here we are.
Martha picks up a small box from the floor and opens it.
Cassie, what is this?
It's quartzite.
No. The stones. This old newspaper photo. My Tom.
Cassie glances at the photo.
Oh, you're in there too.
Attentively listening. Where on earth did you find this?
That just turned up when I moved in.
That was 3 years ago, and this newspaper is 12 years old.
I never throw a good thing away.
Martha looks down at the photo and grins. At home, Cassie opens the guest room door.
Abigail?
She peeks her head inside. The bed is made, and the room is empty of people. Cassie turns and walks up to the sitting room. She walks through the beaded curtains and looks inside. She looks around the floor. Her face becomes sad.
Drunk.
She sighs. At the station, Jake packs a box.
Well, I guess that does it. I'm gonna miss this place.
Yeah.
Before I go, there's something you should know, Derek.
Jake walks over to Derek.
You have been a fine deputy, and I guess I didn't always tell you that. I'm sorry. It's easy to take someone for granted when they're as reliable as you.
Thanks, Jake. Coming from you, that means a lot.
So, I guess I got it all. Oh, I should check my mailbox.
Hey, you got your hands full. Let me.
Derek rummages through the slot.
Just flyers.
He pulls out an envelope.
Oh, no.
What?
It's my campaign speech. I wrote it on the back of this envelope. I must have been so tired I put it in the mailbox and the mailroom sent it back up to us. I spent this whole time wondering if...
Derek ponders.
I don't know what to say.
Don't say anything. Just get back out there in the street and protect the good people of this town.
Derek nods and smiles. He pats Jake's shoulder and walks out. Jake turns to walk off, then pauses. He looks around at his desk and Derek's desk on the other side of the room. He smiles, then carries the box out. On the sidewalk, Derek carries a coffee cup down the street. Cassie approaches.
You're looking for Jake.
I need your help. Abigail is gone.
Gone?
She didn't come home last night. Derek, she's completely cleared out of our house, and she took something very dear to me, my antique trunk.
What's in there?
Something very powerful.
I can't believe she'd just take it.
I'm afraid so. Can you find her, Derek?
Do you want to turn her in?
No. Turn her around. I need to see her.
Okay, don't worry. All right, I'm on it.
Derek walks over to his car and gets in. He closes the door and puts a seatbelt on. Elsewhere, Derek pulls his car up to a sidewalk and parks. He notices a woman walking, the bottom of her dress swaying. He gets out.
Abigail? Hello? Abigail?
He follows the woman around a corner.
Hello?
In the clearing, the woman has disappeared. He turns and glances around. A woman passes on the sidewalk behind him. He turns and approaches his car and gets in. He closes the door and picks up his phone, dialing. He holds the phone to his ear.
Cassie, hey, it's Derek.
Yeah, I thought I saw Abigail near Gleek Alley. She may have headed north.
You know what? Here, just a minute.
He picks up the compass.
Let me just get my bearings and I'll get right back to you, Cassie. You're welcome.
He hangs up and examines the compass. He places it down on a newspaper resting on the seat beside and grimaces. He ponders and then turns to the newspaper. He reads the housing columns. He takes out the phone and dials. Elsewhere, Martha stands at Tom's office door.
Tom, we need to talk.
We've done a lot of talking lately. Between the shouting. If you want me to change my mind about that bridge, you can forget it. I think I made my feelings pretty clear the day you stormed out of the house. Aren't you going to say anything?
I thought I'd just listen. For a change.
Martha grins. Tom stands.
want to give something to this town that's going to endure long after I'm gone and forgotten. I know that's hard to understand.
I understand perfectly. You want to be remembered for something.
Well, yes, I suppose everyone does.
A legacy. Tom, you already have one.
Martha hands Tom the old newspaper.
That's me, the day I won the election. Where did you get this?
Cassie's gift shop. She told me that she never throws a good thing away. I'm beginning to see what she meant.
Tom grins.
Hey, remember Main Street back then?
Oh.
It looked so much better after we had the flower planters.
And those beautiful old-fashioned shop signs.
We made some nice improvements.
You made this town what it is over the last 12 years, Tom. And that's all that I was fighting for, to keep what you made.
It's a nice shot of you, Martha.
It does capture something I hope never changes.
You mean Main Street?
I mean us.
They smile. Nighttime. Derek drives his car along the street and parks outside an apartment building. He gets out and walks up to the front door. He opens the door and enters.
Hello?
He peeks into the main lobby. The lights are on.
Hello?
Abigail sits inside.
Hello, Derek.
Abigail.
She removes earbuds and places them on a table. The trunk sits on the floor nearby. Abigail turns.
How?
Did I find you? I found out you have a history of occupying apartments.
After Jake had me do a background check.
So I looked at the places for rent, and then I narrowed it down to the places that were rented recently.
Brilliant. But then I'm not surprised.
You hurt a lot of people around here.
Are you hurt?
I'm on duty, ma'am.
So what now? You gonna take me to jail?
No. You're staying right here.
Cassie enters.
Thank you, deputy.
Cassie glowers at Abigail, whose eyes widen. Derek turns away from Abigail and walks to the door.
I'll be right outside.
Cassie steps forward.
You have something that belongs to me.
Abigail and Cassie pace around the trunk.
It's mine, I'm afraid.
Don't be afraid. Do you think there's magic in there?
I'll give you magic. You deserve it. Why, because I tried to tear your family apart? Why not? You destroyed mine. You're so loving, Cassie Nightingale. So helpful. Where were you? Where was your family when my mom needed help? She reached out to your mother and nothing, not a word. And she died that year and I was abandoned too, by you and by your parents. Why shouldn't I take something for myself?
Did you find something you could use in there?
It wouldn't open.
Cassie crouches. She touches the latch and the lid opens.
You know that I would do anything to save my family.
Cassie pulls out an object.
You are family, Abigail.
She hands Abigail a black and white framed photo.
What is this?
Magic. The love of family.
It's just a picture.
Of both of our parents. It was taken just before my parents died in a car accident.
Died? Before you were born. It's why they couldn't be there for your mother.
Abigail looks at the photo.
But what about you? You could have come for me.
I was only a child, Abigail. I never knew about you.
You were alone too.
It hurts to be alone. And I found my family, and now you know you have one too.
I'm so sorry.
No, don't be. You have helped us.
How?
All the challenges you brought us only managed to bring us closer together.
But after all I put everyone through.
Well, sometimes we have to travel a long road to go a short distance.
Cassie grins.
I guess I still have a long ways to go.
Yeah, the journey is what makes everything worthwhile. And there's no hurry.
What was it you said? Magic takes time.
And love.
Like the love of a family.
And my town. And now you know why Middleton needs to be saved.
Daytime. At the courthouse, Cassie and Derek sit on a couch. Tom stands nearby.
Cassie, you're speaking first, followed by Deputy Sanders. Now, I have to limit your time at the podium to no more than 12 minutes.
What I have to say will be brief, Mr. Mayor.
Excuse me, Cassie. Before you go out there, there's something about the annexation that you need to know. I'm sorry, Tom. She needs to know. Everybody does.
Then go ahead, Jake.
I looked over the surveys. I checked over the real estate transactions. As soon as the annexation goes through, the Tri-Cities plans to issue permits to build in the Sycamore Grove.
Build what, Jake?
Right now, they're making way for a mega mall.
You say they, Jake. Who's they?
Developers. They've been buying the land up for over a year.
No one will shop on Main Street anymore. It will never be the same.
No. No, I suppose not.
I'm sorry, but I have the proof right here.
Jake hands Tom a folder.
You've done this community a real service. I should have listened sooner. Thank you, Chief Russell.
Jake looks up and smiles.
Welcome back. Cassie, it's time.
Abigail approaches.
Here, put this on during your speech. It's my charm bracelet.
A magic charm?
Good luck charm. Emphasis on the good.
Abigail clips on the bracelet. Later, in the boardroom.
Friends, neighbors. Many of you know Lori, my stepdaughter. She's been working on a family tree, and I am deeply touched and grateful to be included among the branches. It's a beautiful image, isn't it? A family tree? Because like a tree, a family is a living thing that flourishes in the summer, sheds its autumn glory, endures the rough winter, and lives to grow again. When I first came to this town, I was a stranger, perhaps a little stranger than most. Things weren't always easy, but in time, Middleton became my family too. A living thing. Like trees in a forest, we grow. Our branches reach up for the sky, while at the same time, our roots drive down deep. And that is what's at stake for our town. Let's not forget our roots. Without them, without the enduring love that supports every family, we wouldn't be the beautiful, neighborly, loving town that we are. If I'm mayor, I'll do my best to keep it that way.
Cassie smiles. Derek claps from the back of the room, smiling. Jake claps happily. In the side room, Derek stands pacing. Cassie walks in.
Cassie. Congratulations.
Thank you. I had a whole nother speech plan, but I just went with what I was feeling.
No, I mean, congratulations on being our next mayor.
Shouldn't we have an election first?
Yeah, I guess we could. But I'm not going to get a lot of votes when I'm endorsing you.
What?
That's right. You're exactly what this town needs right now.
What do you need, Derek?
I want to be what I've always been, a police officer. Well, maybe I'll be mayor one day or chief of police, but I'm happy doing what I do best.
You sound like a man who knows exactly what he wants and where he's going.
Yeah. And I didn't need that crazy compass to figure it out.
Mm. I'm sorry you had no use for my little gift.
I realize that I'm a terrific cop without it. Unless that was the gift.
Cassie grins. Cassie, Jake, and Martha sit at Tom's desk. He opens an envelope.
Well, that makes it official. Every last ballot has been counted.
And?
Cassie Nightingale is the new mayor of Middleton by a near unanimous decision.
Martha, thank you so much for everything. I couldn't have done it without you.
Thank you. I couldn't do without Tom.
Martha turns to Tom, who grins.
Thank you.
After you.
Tom places a framed photo of Martha into his briefcase as the others leave. Martha smiles, standing in the room. Tom closes the briefcase and looks around the office. He steps over to Martha.
I suppose it isn't easy for you, passing the mantle of power.
As easy as walking out the door.
They link elbows.
Now, you know, there is a state gubernatorial election in under 2 years. If we started tomorrow,
no,
I know
Martha,
I could... Yes, Tom.
Are you listening?
Yes, Tom.
I love you, Martha.
He kisses her cheek. They walk out of the office together, then pause. They glance inside. Now, they turn and walk out. At the Russell house, the family and Abigail enter.
Do you have to leave tomorrow?
I have a long journey ahead of me and some people to see. I'm afraid I already booked my flight.
A round trip ticket, I hope.
I'll be back. Now that I have a family to come home to.
You'll always have a home here, Abigail.
They enter the kitchen.
I'm just sorry that I'm gonna miss your birthday.
Oh, I completely forgot. My birthday is this Saturday. Oh,
sweet 16, Lori, with all the excitement.
No big deal.
Well, let's go in here.
They walk into the family room.
Surprise!
Jake and Brandon stand with a room full of guests. The room is decorated with beads and lights and a large cake.
Happy birthday, Lori.
Happy birthday, honey.
Lori hugs Jake.
It doesn't look like the family room at all. It's beautiful.
I guess that's a good thing.
Make a wish.
Lori turns to Brandon.
I've got my wish.
She leans over and blows out the candle. Lori hugs Jake. Brandon stands at a record player.
Hey, everyone, give it up for the birthday girl, my sister Lori. Are you ready to party?
He drops a needle. The assembled guests start dancing. Jake beckons to Cassie. They walk out. From outside, the house looks lit up in the night sky. Jake walks upstairs to the sitting room with two pieces of cake.
I thought you might be up here.
Just giving the teenagers a break. It is their party. I can't remember the last time I sat down.
Jake sits beside her.
It's been a long couple weeks. But now that things have settled down a bit, I've been thinking.
About what?
About family. The future. I'm ready.
For what?
For a little twig on the top of that family tree.
Oh, Jake, that's wonderful. Because I'm pregnant.
Jake smiles and pulls Cassie close. They kiss.
Looks like all my wishes are coming true.
They gaze at each other smiling. They kiss passionately. They separate and giggle, hugging each other.